I want to start with a story. It was supposed to be calm. We had a big day planned for blue skies and flat water. But when I went down to the beach to fill my water bottles for the day, a south breeze fetched a steady chop from the 2 miles between our island and the mainland. The end of the intake tube on my water filtration pump jerked in the waves like a fish on the line, sucking air, not water, and wrapping itself around my legs. I swore at the lake. A half hour later, as I slipped the kayak into the rough water, a big punishing wave slapped it broadside, filling the cockpit. Uh-oh. Instant karma. Should not have cursed at something so large and consequential as Lake Superior. I know better than to think this way, but I was spooked. Was this a sign of what was to come? The lake is vast and dangerous. We were heading for miles of open water. Was the lake out to get me? Sometime later, as we took a break in a cove, I got a grip. The lake is vast. The lake is powerful. My existence may ultimately be of consequence to the lake in as much as humans and the world interact, but in terms of intentionality, the lake has no plans for me. The lake has no motives. The lake isn't punishing. The lake isn't forgiving. The lake just is. I wrote this, or something similar to it, in 2006 in a column for the Ames Tribune in Ames, Iowa, when I worked as editor there. It was part of an account of a kayak trip on Lake Superior in the summer of that year. As Susan said in the introduction, I worked for 24 years in journalism. But in 2008, 2 years after this kayak episode, as our two sons were off beginning their own lives, my spouse got a new job in a new city, and I had a chance to think about doing something completely different. We moved to Rochester, Minnesota. I enrolled in seminary in New Brighton on the north side of the Twin Cities, and in the first semester there, for an assignment on sermon writing, I recalled this story from Lake Superior. One great thing about ministry that is different than journalism is that you get to recycle your stuff. I have used this story countless times since then, into my formation as a minister and then on into working congregations. It has been a long time since I have been in that kayak, but the story is a touchstone for me, the start of what has become my signature theological sermon. I want to offer it to you today because this is my first time with you, and it serves as a good introduction, and also because the point of it works well with a lot of what I've been thinking about in our current lives. As many times as I've told it, each time I tell it, it's different. Which is to say that if this is my signature sermon on theology, my theology keeps changing. How you of it. The obvious point of the image then and now is that if God is like the lake, God is not a rule minder or a judge, or even that God has a plan for you or me. This is not the God of providence or of predestination or judgment day, not the God of the patriarchy or manifest destiny, not a colonialist God or the God of white supremacist culture, not a stink bug. You might think of this God as the old deists who founded this country did, as one who kicked the universe into motion and then sat back to see what happened. But better, and in a more current way, you might think of this God as interactive, interconnected, a God who is a part of nature, part of the earth, and part of us too, because we are of the earth, a natural God, because nature is everything. I have used this image to illustrate what I understand of process theology, which holds that God and the cosmos interact, that they are kind of like co-creators in the totality of things, which rolls through time like a giant snowball, comprising everything that has gone before and also in a different kind of a way, everything that is becoming, with God as maybe the creative and connecting force that binds it all together, each part, including God, constantly affecting and affected by everything else. This image works well with the ideas of pantheism and panentheism and a scientific understanding of spirituality expressed in writers like Chet Ramo and Sally McFaig, and in a naturalistic, empirical theology found in some current UU theologians. And all of this plays really well in seminary. They like it when you can work a metaphor. But with some overlap, I have been working in churches now for at least twice as long as I have been in seminary, and my experiential learning has shaped who I am too. So a few things have changed since I first wrote this. The first is that I have come to see humanism up close and personal. Humanism not so much as a course of study or a social trend, but as a lived reality here in community. I am skeptical of supernatural claims. I think that the project of finding meaning in life is a wholly human project. But the lake metaphor has a problem I have known since the start, and that is that the lake is really cold, like 39 degrees cold, like almost refrigerator cold. Church life has taught me instead that what we do here is anything but cold. Here we celebrate birth and growth and commitment and relationships and death. We say that to live in hearts that love is not to die. Here we have hearts that love. This is where I often say I see God, in the connection, in the tie that binds. Whenever you have two things, you have three. You have the one and you have the other and you have the relationship between them. The lake image, in its coldness, is useful in pushing away an anthropomorphized, idolatrous view of God. It is not everything I want it to be, but then again, too, the lake and humans do interact. As vast as it is, Lake Superior does, in fact, change with the vagaries of human endeavor. Witness climate change, or the hopes of some to build a giant drain pipe from the Great Lakes down to the arid Southwest. And so God, too, might ache from our transgressions. The second thing I have come to know is that some big things should be cursed at. Some things it is good and right to be angry with. This is a good segue into our current situation. I am thinking that the lake and the pandemic are a lot alike. Big and scary and unknown. It is tempting to treat the pandemic in the same way that I erroneously thought of the lake, as having some intention behind it. You remember that when the virus first began arriving on U.S. shores, it came in with people on airplanes and cruise ships, and then cars disappeared from the highways and the smog cleared. And people started noticing in their blog posts the migration of birds, and I admit to thinking, aha, finally, the earth takes revenge on affluence. But no, the virus is not making plans. The virus has no motives. It isn't punishing. It isn't forgiving. It is simply opportunistic. And the fact that there are a lot of us and that we move around and that we are in contact with each other, that only allows it to thrive. And with all things opportunistic, it is not the affluent who are most deeply and negatively affected. It is the marginalized. And in our society, that means African Americans and Latinx, the Navajo tribe, the masses incarcerated in jails and prisons. And those inequities are not any part of a natural process, but they are the result of policy and power. They flow, I would argue, from a different view of God in which only some are worthy, only some are saved. And I am imagining that people with this view are seeing some motivational force in the virus too, wiping out the unworthy. A politician who purports to represent me sent a newsletter just a week or so ago in which he boldly proclaimed that we are at war with this virus, like the war on poverty or the war on drugs. Forgive me, but I am so done with that language. Whenever I hear someone say that we are at war with something, I think immediately, okay, who's getting oppressed now? War creates winners and losers. War is by definition divisive. We do not need winners or losers right now. We need leaders, leaders who will bring us together and move us forward. We do not go to war with a virus. We go to war with ourselves. Here's where the humanist part of a naturalistic humanistic theology comes in. I think that justice is a trait and a desire of humans. And I think that the arc of the universe is long, yes, but it bends only when we bend it. And so if the virus has helped throw inequity and injustice into sharper relief, it will be up to us to do something about that. As policymakers bravely work remotely from home to reopen the state, it will be up to us to not allow them to return us to what was before, but to move us ahead. This is the salvific message of this faith, that we can change, that we can be better. In each new moment is a chance. It is like this in a kayak on Lake Superior too. We are tiny paddlers making imperceptible headway in our journey toward the horizon. We are always thinking in terms of arriving or achieving, but the horizon is constantly receding. We will never get there. Even if we reach the opposite shore, we look back and there's that horizon line again behind and now before us. The lake is vast. The lake is powerful. You can die on the lake or you can live. But the lake isn't punishing, the lake isn't forgiving, the lake just is. I think that if our idea of God was more like Lake Superior, we might better appreciate our dependence on each other and better appreciate the world in which we live. We might know that the stones we drop in the water carry ripples to the opposite shore. You can die on the lake, or you can live. You might luck out and get a calm day, in which case you won't have to rely on much. On another day, it will take all of your intelligence and all of your skill just to stay afloat, not to mention a little help from your friends. The lake is vast and dark and also really cold. The lake will lash you with Old Testament wrath and carry you off to distant shores on the gospel truth of its power. The lake is deep and beautiful, teems with life beneath its waves, and it nourishes life along its shores. From it, we draw our own life, our livelihood, and a sense of the divine. The lake will bear you up, and sooner or later, it will swallow you down. The lake just is. Blessed be.